flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McCoy. Yeah.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. 1202 on The Fan. Vic Monagle here with you for a Friday 5-hour midnight ride. And we'll call it a Football Friday, the last real Football Friday of the year as we get ready for the championship games. The disaster that is the NFC championship game for us Giant fans locally. And of course, can we take down the Chiefs? And we'll get to it. But we got to start with one simple fact that I've been saying forever. I've been saying for weeks, and I'm sorry, Met fans, Pete Alonso is not coming back. It's not going to happen for two reasons. One, the Mets don't want him. And two, I don't think Alonso wants to be back at this point. It's gotten kind of toxic. Hasn't it felt that way? It feels like Pete isn't going to, even if the Mets, and here's, let me just start with this, because I keep hearing people say it, and I'm sorry, but it's driving me crazy. Because there's one phrase, as we're hearing now, that Toronto Blue Jays and Pete Alonso are at the doorstep, at the goal line, 10-yard line, red zone, whatever stupid cliche that we're going to tie it to football. The Blue Jays and Alonso, we've heard numbers reported to be somewhere around 3 years for $75 million. So 3 for 25 is being reported, but we have no idea. But they're close. They're deep into negotiation. But what I can't stand anymore. What I can't stand hearing anymore is, well, it's not that the Mets don't want him. It's the Mets want him at their price, and they believe in the market value, and Stearns is a very shrewd GM here, and he's obviously built up Milwaukee. He's done a great job in Stearns, we trust, and all that. And Cohen's not going to get involved, so they have a number and a value for where they view Pete Alonso, and they want him. But they want him at his number, at their number, which is absolute crap. They do not want Pete Alonso. Plain and simple. They do not want Pete Alonso. This is a better framing of it. The Mets don't want Pete Alonso, but for a certain number because of what he's done and how much the owner understands the fan base might want him, for a certain price, they may be willing to put up with Pete Alonso. Because I'm sorry, I understand that Cohen is not going to get involved. And I, in some ways, you want him to get involved for the big free agents, the Juan Sotos, where you know the owner has to get involved. We'll see how many moving forward. Whether it's Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if you're writing a 4, a 5 at the beginning of a contract in the hundreds of millions of dollars, the owner gets involved. For $75 million, even if it's Pete Alonso, the GM should be running the show. I totally understand that. But I'm sorry. A team that is owned by Steve Cohen, even if it's run by Stearns, if Stearns wants him, and we talk about the dynamic of Stearns running a mid-market team in Milwaukee, and he has parameters. There are no such parameters in New York. It doesn't mean he's going to go crazy and throw crazy money at Pete Alonso. But the fact of the matter is, if a team run by Stearns or whomever, but owned by King Cohen himself, if they want someone, 3 years at $4 or $5 million per? Or the rumor is $68 million they offered him. 3 years, let's just call it $5 to $15 million total over 3 years, is not preventing you from getting someone you want. So forget the term want. They don't want him. If they wanted him, they'd have him. They don't want him. Plain and simple. Been saying that forever. It is never more clear than it is right now. Because now the market has a little bit developed himself. Because over the last few weeks, while I've been screaming about this, there's always been the counterpoint of, well, Chris, who the hell else is making an offer? Let me see the offer. That was a very poor Jerry Seinfeld. There's no offer. What's with the offers? There's no team interested. Well, now we have a team interested. Now we have even parameters of a deal being interested. Now we have on the doorstep being interested. And what are the Mets doing? Ugats. They have no interest in bringing back Pete Alonso. And there are reports that Pete Alonso at this point has no interest in coming back. And I can understand. I'm not saying he's right or wrong, and we can get into whether or not if it's only $5 million more or if it's only $10 million more, isn't it worth it to go back to the franchise that you've been with? And I say, honestly, right now, I'm on Pete Alonso's side. No, it's not. It's not worth it. You know why? Because this isn't a lifetime contract. All right, sure, in the next 3 years, is it possible he breaks the strawberry record and he has the most home runs in the history of the franchise? Sure. But he's not going to be the lifelong Met 7-8 year contract he was hoping for to finish his career and become the greatest Met of all time is gone. It's never going to happen. He knows it. The Mets know it. It's obvious. So what's the point? It's not like he has that value anymore. I'm sorry. If he continues after the next 3 years and has great seasons and ends up luckily in the Hall of Fame, sure. Would it be in a Met uniform if he plays 3 more years and then after that goes somewhere else and continues and earns the Hall of Fame, hitting 500-600 home runs if that's, you know, if he's so inclined playing as many years and staying healthy and hitting 40 a year? Could it be in a Mets uniform? Sure. It still could be. But the idea of the true value for Pete Alonso to stay in the uniform is gone. And whether you agree with it or I agree with it or whoever else has to agree with it, he feels like he's been disrespected for a team. It's easy for you to say, you turned down a contract, you bet on yourself, you hired a super agent, and now you deal with what you got coming to you. It's different when you're the player who on the down year where he was so terrible, hit 34 home runs, drove in 90 runs, and hit the biggest home run of a magical season that kept them moving on in the playoffs. He might not view it at the same level of lost as you do. And as he watches $765 million go to a player who's never done a thing for him, and he watches his buddy Nimmo get the kind of money they don't want to give him, I could understand why, even at a couple of million bucks more, if he's not getting the legacy contract, why tuck my tail between my legs and go back to a team who clearly doesn't want me unless it fits their exact parameters and won't give an inch? So I totally understand it. I absolutely understand it. And I've said this for the same time. I understand, like, it's one of those things where I understand both sides. If we look at the future of the Mets and we understand how Stearns wants to build a team, I totally understand not wanting to give a contract, although it's getting to the point where the numbers seem reasonable to me. And certainly I think that the Mets in the short term would be far better than with Pete Alonso. And I don't think a 3-year contract with opt-outs, whatever the money might be, is something detrimental to the Mets doing anything else they would want. Anything else. But just roster building. Could I understand, you know, the term lumbering has been thrown around a lot. I'm learning as I do the show and I focus on all this stuff more and more as I'm, you know, there are words that just somehow every once in a while start catching on. Right now, the word around Pete Alonso is lumbering. I'm hearing, you don't want a lumbering 30 years. He's 30 years old. He hits 40 home runs a year, but you don't want a lumbering first baseman who's okay at defense. You got to pull up scoop stats to tell me how he's actually pretty good at defense. I don't know how he's going to age, right? He's a one-dimensional player. I want to be more flexible. I want to be more flexible and not have to transition him to DH in a couple years. I want to be more flexible and be younger. And I have a rich owner who's going to go out there and pay for the super free agents. I got Tucker coming out next year, who just got voted on the Shredder MLB Network, for whatever that's worth, as a better overall player than Juan Soto, as he is number two as the second best right fielder in baseball ahead of Juan Soto. He's going to be available next year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is, to me, most likely going to be available next year. And that plays into the conversation, obviously, immensely here with the Toronto Blue Jays. But I could understand wanting to be more flexible and, as a GM, understanding, you know, putting Pete Alonso or anybody else I don't love on even a short-term contract hinders my ability of being flexible. Not so much that my owner, who's rich as the day is long, can't go out and get a contract for a player I want. We understand that could happen. But I don't want to be bogged down in roster, being unflexible with a roster when I want to get someone who could play first base and now I got Pete Alonso there. Or I got someone who might need to transition to DH and I've already maybe thinking Soto 5 years down the line doing that. Like, it's about roster flexibility and being ready when the big free agent hits that impacts the team, being able to do that. So, like, I understand both sides of it, but I am tired of hearing there is somewhere to be met in the middle. It's over. He's gone. He's gone. And I firmly believe the Mets are going to be in on one or both of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Kyle Tucker and any other big-time free agent who is more athletic, who is a little bit more of a well-rounded player, who gives you more than just hitting home runs. And yeah, Pete Alonso is trending in the wrong direction the last 2 years. Now his power numbers, again, on a bad year, 34 home runs, 40 home runs. These are the two trending down years we're talking about. But he's a one-dimensional player that they're ready to move on from. Whether you like it or not, whether you're excited about it, understand it, whatever the case may be, as Mets Fan Fest is about to start, you're going to hear he signs with someone else. Because the Mets don't have any interest. The Toronto Blue Jays stepping up and offering him a contract is the best news that David Stearns has received all week. And I don't know if he's a Jet fan and loved the Aaron Glenn hiring or not, but I'm sure the best news he got all week is finally, I have no doubt that David Stearns is sitting around right now going, thank you, Lord. Finally, someone else has stepped up and offered this man a contract, so I'm not sitting here waiting for him to take the contract I felt forced to offer that I have no interest in him taking. Today is a great day for David Stearns. And as far as where he's going, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the ramifications of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., let me just say this, because I've been saying it forever, and I still firmly believe it. If Pete Alonso is not a Met this year, I firmly believe Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will be one next year. I just told you how that he will sign the big-time free agent. I believe Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is that to them, considering the age. Now, you want to talk about body type, you want to talk about the ability of aging and where he'll be. Now, he's won a gold glove defensively. I think he is better than Pete, but his body type, I don't know how long that stays not being a DH. Or I don't know how, you know, athletic he is, but he provides so much more. On a good year, he'll hit you 330. I mean, Pete Alonso doesn't have that in the bag. But I do firmly believe, even though right now for the Mets, I think two different things. You know, one, how do they view this roster? And how do they view Vientos? Because I think part of this, as we talk roster flexibility, I don't think they believe him to be a third baseman defensively. Like, if you remember last year, it was about Beatty. He made the improvement defensively. If Beatty could hit a lick, if Beatty was able to hold his weight on the offensive side of things, we might not have seen Vientos last year. So I think the idea of transitioning to first base makes sense. And start that process now, even though I fear a little bit of position change right as you're about to get into a sophomore season and try and worrying about avoiding that jinx and keeping who he is offensively. It makes me a little nervous to put a position switch on him. But ultimately, I don't know if they view him as a third baseman and see him as a first baseman all along and just starting that transition early and getting better defensively on the left side of the infield. And bringing up Beatty or whoever, Mauricio, whatever their options are at third base, and starting that process for Vientos. And then the other thing is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I have no fear. Right now, the word is, as they are bringing in Pete Alonso, as they brought in Santander, as they have been sort of linked to Alex Bregman, that the Toronto Blue Jays are making a last-ditch effort to try and convince Vladimir Guerrero Jr. that they will put a team around him. After Vlad's been watching this team underachieve for years, as he's watched every big-time free agent turn down the Canadian money, turn down this team's, you know, they went out and tried to get Ohtani. They just tried Sasaki. They were in on Soto. They've been in on every big free agent, and nobody wants their money until Santander took a contract for less than $20 million per, which made me, heading into the year, once we saw the market, it didn't surprise me that much. But heading into the season, both these, Santander and Alonso. I mean, if you would have told me to start the year, you could get them at $20 million per, and Santander under $20 million, I would have never have thought that. But now they get Santander. If they get Alonso, and if they get Bregman, now they've been loosely touched to Bregman, but it seems like they're trying to make this last-ditch effort to compete now in this American League East, and in a weaker American League, which I think is a very smart idea, because literally anyone can come out of it, but other than the Yankees. It's the Yankees and everybody else. But I firmly believe there is no chance in hell Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would sign a contract this close to free agency without giving Steve Cohen an opportunity to see what he would put down on paper. There is just no way. When you watch him do what he did with Juan Soto, and he gives him free suites and everything asked, and $765 million, how in the world could you be within a year of free agency, and say, no, I'll stay in Toronto? Like, I'm sorry. I find it hard to believe. So for me, there's two different ways to look at Pete Alonso not being here. One, the clear, obvious transition of Vientos to first base, and that being the rest of his career there and opening the option of getting a better defender at third, or the obvious one of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to hit the free agent market, and that's the kind of free agent that the New York Mets go out and get. That's the kind of free agent as an operator like David Stearns wants to be and work on the margins. This is how he views it, and I think it's a very sound plan. And no more Pete Alonso contracts. No more solid, okay, every good, you know, one-dimensional player who could fit a purpose but ultimately is flawed. I'm not giving him big money. I'm not giving him multiple years. I am waiting for the big free agents that make sense for this team, who are on the younger side, more athletic, more flexible, help us in more different ways, and I will build around the margins. And I will have pitchers on one-year contracts, and I will get Minter instead of Tanner Scott. And I will get value everywhere else around the roster, and I will find the 2, 3, 4 guys who make sense to give a ton of money to, because that's my owner. And I think that's how David Stearns plans on building it, and that model has no room for a lumbering, aging, 30-year-old, one-dimensional home run hitter. Even if he is a fan favorite, even if he's done a lot for this organization, even if he was hitting 50 home runs while making $500,000, it's a different era, a different ownership group, and certainly a different front office. And they have no interest in accommodating him in the slightest. So don't get your hopes up. Don't think that, hey, eventually it'll get done. Oh, he'll get the final offer and take it back to the Mets, and they'll still do it. They've just been waiting to find out what the actual, they weren't going to bid against themselves, but now that they know what the actual contract is, they'll match because the owner loves Pete and he wants to do what the fan base wants on some level. No. David Stearns is running the show. David Stearns doesn't want Pete, and Pete is not going to take a dime less any longer to go there and be a Met for another 3 years. It's not a legacy contract anymore. The value that we kept talking about, oh, there's value in staying Pete, there's value in staying Pete. At 3 years, what's the value? 6 years, 7 years, major value. You're David Wright. Pete doesn't plan on playing 3 more years at the age of 30. And he's been embarrassed enough where I doubt very much for a dollar he will tuck his tail between his legs and come on home and say, I'm sorry. I just don't see it. Pete Alonso is no longer a Met. And we'll find out whether that's good for them or bad for them moving forward. I think you can make a very strong case for both. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We got you all the way to 5 o'clock. We got a lot to do. We got two Knicks starting the All-Star game for the first time since 1975. We got the Rangers on a 7 out of 10 and a 10-game point streak. We got Championship Sunday. We got what's going on in Jacksonville and some other places around the league. Aaron Glenn's the new head coach of the Jets. He'll be introduced on Monday. They're still hot interviewing different GM candidates. We wait for that shoe to drop.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 1228. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. You know, the other thing me and Fleeks were just talking about, and I briefly mentioned it in the open. I mean, tomorrow is Mets Fan Fest. Amazing day. I'm sorry. And, you know, Sal and Joe are going to be there. Evan is going to be doing a live version of the Rico. And it's just a celebration of all things Mets. And it's going to be a great day. Unless, and I'm curious how the fans think. That's why I want to hear from you, because I get both on Twitter. I hear both on the phone calls. I'm curious how you feel about it, because if you're at FanFest, and Pete Alonso, make no mistake, you can think whatever you want about him now and his last 2 years and the unclutch nature of this last recent season, other than the most clutch moment of the entire year. But even I would agree, over the course of the regular season, he was brutal in big spots. He was brutal every time you needed him to come through. He didn't. He had a miserable year, particularly in that department. I can't argue it. And I mean, he was that home. He was striking out in that at bat from not even having this conversation, to be fair. So I understand. And I just went through all the litany of reasons why I could see the reasoning for the Mets not signing him. But if he's announced that he is joining the Toronto Blue Jays for $5 million more than the Mets offered him over 3 years, and it breaks out at FanFest, and now that takes over the entire, like, it's all people are going to be talking about. All people are going to be asking about, all people are going to be, that's going to overhaul and hang over the entire event that Pete Alonso left. And it was for $5 million when you have the richest owner in baseball. That you let your guy go, who broke the rookie home run record, who goes to the home run derby every year, who started LFGM, like all of it. The fan favorite, and up until this last year, has been arguably the best player on the team. Lindor is obviously far superior defensively in what he does at shortstop, but he's had up and down seasons. He had a really good season 2 years ago. This past year, unbelievable. No doubt who the leader is, who the best player is. Well, now that you got Juan Soto, there is a doubt, but you know what I'm saying. But for the first 4 years of the first four years as a Met, he was the face of the Mets. Pete Alonso was the face of the Mets. And they're going to let him go for $5 million, telling you about market value and telling you about too old at 30 and telling you about roster construction and flexibility. When you offered him 70 or 68 and he went for 75 to Toronto, like, that is going to be a tough look and a tough feel at FanFest. And I understand why everyone wants to believe in Stearns. He did an amazing job last year. He did a Rumpelstiltskin type performance and spun a whole bunch of straw into gold with that rotation. There is no doubt about it. And they're hoping to do it again. But I think it's going to be, it's tough optics for an owner who has been the opposite for an owner who's done, other than, I guess, Jacob DeGrom. And how quickly was that spun that he didn't want to be here? And that's what we're gonna, and that's what they'll try and spin now. And maybe a lot of Met fans will buy it. Oh, Pete didn't want to be here. I think at this point, Pete might not want to be there. But Pete always wanted to be here. He turned down a contract. I get it. And for that sin, he must pay. Okay. He hired Scott Boras. Oh, how dare he? I love that one. I'm sorry. I know what it signifies that you want the most money. Every player wants the most money. Like, he had a problem. Who knows why he decided to fire his agent? Who knows? Might have been a personal disagreement. It might have been a bunch of things. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to show the Mets I mean business. Maybe it was. Maybe it was just he went with the best agent in the sport after having a disagreement with his agent. But whatever. That's the sins Pete Alonso's paying for. Turning down a contract and then having the gall to hire another agent. And so that's how they'll spin it on. He didn't want to be here. He had opportunities to come here. He didn't want to take the deal. And yeah, sure, we didn't give him the $5 million, but Pete left us for $5 million. And we'll see, but that's going to be a rough look for an owner who loves good looks. For an owner who wants to give you the statues you want, who wants to give you the jerseys you want, who wants to give you the old-timers day you want, who wants to give you the retired numbers you want. Like, this is, he's come here, spent money, and given you what you want. That's what he's done. And I know ultimately you want winning, and that's all that'll matter. And if the Mets are in the World Series and beat the Dodgers in the NLCS and lose to the Yankees in the World Series. I'm just kidding. If the Mets, let's just leave it there. If the Mets are in the World Series, no one's going to care. Pete Alonso's not there. But if this offense struggles to find itself and they're desperately lacking power and now you're trading at the deadline to try and find some, and Pete Alonso's hitting 40 home runs with Toronto and having a surprisingly good season with them because they've added Bregman as well, and now that offense is as good as any in the American League, might find out how it feels. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kevin in Manalapan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
I enjoy listening to you and Keith. Doing a show solo takes a lot of talent.
Well, thank you. It can be difficult at times, especially for these the 5-hour ones trying to entertained for so long, but when you're a natural like me, it's not as difficult as you would think.
I guess that's what I was trying to tell you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anyway, I got a what-if question for you, and I'll listen to your response, but I'd like to tell you what I think the answer is. What if, and this is water under the bridge, what if in the early stages of free agency, the Yankees had got involved with Alonso? Do you think the Mets would have been more motivated to keep him?
Maybe. I don't think that's... maybe. It depends. I don't think they would have ever went to a number they were uncomfortable with. So maybe a little bit more, because it depends. Like, the market fell so poor, in such a terrible way for Pete, and really all first basemen, that... if the market was robust and the Yankees were part of it, maybe they would have been forced to at least give a better option to Pete. But no, ultimately, I don't know if it would have made that much of a difference. I think they believe it's in their best interest to move on.
And I think that the Yankees not getting involved is kind of an indicator to Stearns that Pete's, overpricing himself.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if they necessarily have to go together. I think the Yankees thought that Pete's contract was going to go higher. I think the $20 million that Walker got was too pricey for the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees were looking to spend different ways. And as you've heard the reporting now from Michael Kay and others, they are very much invested in going after the Japanese first base superstar. That will hit free agency next year. And I think at 26 years old, he'll hit free agency. So I think they were keen on doing a one-year deal at first base. And I didn't think, I think early on they probably wouldn't have guessed Pete Alonso's market would have collapsed like this. So I don't think it's just necessarily, well, the Yankees didn't want him, so therefore, I mean, who wants him? I mean, that's part of it. Nobody wanted him. I think part of it was nobody wanted him early on because they felt the market was going to be high and there were other first base options. The Astros, even if they were interested, they got Walker for $20 million. I don't think they would have dreamed. And I remember I was on with Sal that day screaming about how fair a contract that was. And as much as I like Walker and as great as he is defensively and maybe, you know, does a couple of things differently than Pete, you're gonna tell me Walker? I mean, Pete hits 40 home runs a year. And Walker's 34. So when Walker signed for $20 million per, I said, oh, that's a damn good deal. Why weren't the Yankees all over that? I would have never have guessed that Pete Alonso would be looking at $20 million a year. I thought he was going to get more. So I think it all played out into the market actually not developing for him, other teams getting other first-based options, and ultimately that's what caused the market to collapse on him. But I don't think the Yankees getting involved made a major difference one way or the other. Steve in Monmouth County. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Big Mac. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
So here's the scenario that I figure is going to happen tomorrow at FanFest. You've told us Alonso going to Toronto, this, that, and the other. How about this one?
Okay.
Alonso, Boris, Cohen, Stearns. They announced at FanFest that they're signing Pete Alonso. The place will go absolutely nuts, and you guys will say, wow, they pulled it off. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, Steve. I don't see that happening at all. I heard Evan espouse the same thing, that would be awesome, and you're right. Oh, my God, that would be awesome. I mean, do you think they played this game all this way just to pull this off at Fan? An amazing day? You think that? I mean, you think that's what they've done? You think that this whole thing is one big facade and that he was going to sign the whole time, but they've waited for today to unleash him? I don't think they want any part of him. I'd be very, very surprised. If there's going to be news tomorrow, it's going to be he signs with the Blue Jays. I don't think there's any, I don't think they're going to pull the curtain back and there's going to be Pete dressed as a polar bear in a Met uniform. I wouldn't expect it. I really wouldn't expect it. But yes, would that be awesome? Sure. Why not? That would be great. Any signing. Show up with Bregman. That'd be great too. That'd make them forget. How about that? Forget about Pete Alonso. They show up and there's Alex Bregman with Boris. But I don't think they want him. And the fascinating thing about the Blue Jays in particular is how it impacts the Yankees. Because I got to tell you, I've been calling the Blue Jays frauds forever. I think they are frauds. Even they were winning, they haven't won a playoff game in over a decade, I think. They've been this group of the Blue Jays, the young juniors, the Bichettes, the Biggios, the Vladimir Guerreros, this team that was supposed to have such a powerful offense has been a huge underachiever to the point where last year they kind of bottomed out. And now they're adding what could be Pete Alonso and what could be Alex Bregman and what has already been Anthony Santander. Now you're talking about having the best offense in the American League. If they do all this, I mean, Pete Alonso, for whatever we want to say, I know Pete Alonso's hitting 35 home runs next year. I know it. That's the floor. The floor is 35 home runs. The ceiling is 55 home runs. In an indoor park, he plays every single day. He'll be in the middle of the lineup with Anthony Santander and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's going to hit 35 to 40 home runs. That's the floor. And we've talked a lot about the Dodgers and how I've said this about the Yankees. And the Mets on some level. You don't want to overreact and feel like you have to react to what the Dodgers do. The Mets more than the Yankees, certainly they're in the National League. But this whole thing, and the way the New York Yankees have handled this offseason is predicated on one simple fact. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. It might not, as far as paper goes right now, doesn't mean they will be. Got to play a season. It's baseball, Susan. We all get it. So anything could happen, but this whole thing, right? I know they went out, they had to pivot after Juan Soto, and they got Freed, and they brought in Bellinger, and they got Williams, and they've done a bunch of stuff. They got Goldie, but right now they've been extremely lazy at third base. They're not going to spend another dime until they get Stroman off the books. And part of this of letting, you know, this one, letting DJ LeMahieu possibly your third baseman or Cabrera be your third baseman, or, you know, we'll see. We'll get some of the lesser options. We'll get a one-year deal at first base with an aging and, you know, coming off a terrible year, Goldie, because we want to get the first baseman next year. It's all about next year, short-term contracts, what we could do next year. That's all predicated on one simple fact that even after losing Juan Soto, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. And now you're hearing Bregman could be going back to the Astros, or Bregman could be, there have been some reports that he might be linked to Toronto as opposed to just Detroit. It felt like it was going to be just Detroit. And Detroit, although they were the upstart team last year and had that miracle run to the postseason, I still wouldn't put, you know, adding Gleyber Torres and adding Bregman thrusting and catapulting the Detroit Tigers to the top of the American League. But if you are going to give me a lineup of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bichette, Santander, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman in my division, you've got the most potent lineup in the American League right in your division, let alone the Boston Red Sox, who added Crochet and have done a bunch of different small moves and different moves where they're going to be sneaky good too. So maybe you don't add and react to the Dodgers. But if the Blue Jays start making moves to try and keep Vladimir Guerrero Jr., as much as I call this group a bunch of frauds, you inject new blood into it. You inject Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, Santander. I don't know how the group will play. And while, yeah, the pitching won't be the same, and they lost Romano, and we got to see what the bullpen is, and I don't trust them, that's a scary lineup. And Bregman's also been connected to the Red Sox. And if Bregman goes to the Red Sox, I think that's the Yankees' most dangerous opponent. I don't think it's the Orioles. I think it's the Red Sox. Like, Bregman going to the AL East on top of what's been done could shift power inside that division and make me at least, I would still rank the Yankees probably first, considering how good their pitching and back end of the bullpen is compared to the other teams. But now you're talking about being nervous a little bit and having to adjust. And then I would say, hey, look, you can't just sit and wait to move Stroman. You've got to go out and get better. This lineup, this offense is still lacking. So the Pete Alonso actually has ramifications for both teams here. Why couldn't you just sign a Mets? Now he's got to go to the Blue Jays? Steve in Stamford. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, C-Mac?
Good. How are you, brother?
So I'm all right, bud. So I'm a lifelong Yankee fan and season ticket holder, and also a big Knicks fan. So I had a quick baseball and basketball point, if I could.
Sure.
First of all, I'm just back to the Soto thing quickly, and it's a little spilled milk, and I get it. I just don't want to hear from the Mets how it's all about one big family. And I don't want to hear from Soto that it's all about winning, because I just think it's disingenuous. Like, if he's going for the top dollar, no worries. Go for the top dollar. Yeah. But just say that. Like I don't want to hear that he's going, you know, because of winning, when their big moves were Frankie Montas, Griffin Canning. I mean, their staff is atrocious. And, like, so it's not about winning. Or maybe he should have said, well, maybe if you sign Max Fried, then I'll come to you. Mm-hmm. Like, guarantee me an ace. So I just think it's disingenuous, and all the, oh, it's about a family crap, yeah, until you don't think it's a good contract anymore, i.e. Alonso. So I just think both sides are disingenuous. One more point on the Yankees.
Yeah.
I love their pivots. I love all of them. I think Goldschmidt, 2 years removed from an NL MVP, I think he still has something in the tank. He's above plus, you know, defensively. I love Devin Williams. I love Freed. I love all of their moves, and Bellinger. My only thing is, why couldn't they have gotten, like, a Ha-Seong Kim, who signed for 3 years and $12 billion, or some ridiculously low amount? like a $4 or $5 million a year contract with the Dodgers, a team that, of course, doesn't need him anyway. Why couldn't we have gotten a player like that who would have been a decent contact hitter, stolen 20 to 30 bases, and we wouldn't have had to wait to the deadline in order to get it?
I just want to make sure you know who you're talking about, though. That's the only thing. We're talking about the pitcher, the infielder from Korea, right?
The Padres. I get that he's a shortstop, and you'd be asking him to go to second.
No, but he's not. He's still a free agent. They signed a different
I think he signed with the Dodgers.
No, they signed a different player from that. That was a different infielder, similar name from Korea. Not the Haesan Kim,
is that true?
Yes, this Haesan Kim, who's already played for the Padres and has been in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
He's still a free agent available out there.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Then I'm thrilled. Then I think I don't understand why. I understand. Believe me, I want Stroman off the books as much as anybody.
Yeah.
And I get it. But like that getting a Haesan Kim is not going to break the bank, and he'll be much better than what we have there. And then you can bring, you know, use Cabrera as utility man, and let DJ come in spot to see if he has anything left.
I don't disagree with you. I just think that they're not spent. They are right at the last, you know, Steve Cohen threshold of this luxury tax, and they're not willing to go over it for the player like him when they know that come trade deadline, they're going to have to make a move and they're going to need some sort of, you know, wiggle room come trade deadline to take on some payroll. And they don't view him as that much of an upgrade to go over it until they can move on from a Marcus Stroman. And even then, I don't know if they would go. So, I mean, I'm just telling you what they're thinking. I don't disagree with you. They should. They absolutely should. I'll double check if he's still a free agent. I know the Dodgers signed a different player. That I know. I haven't seen if he signed anywhere in the last couple days, but I think he's still a free agent, but I know he's not the player who was signed with the Dodgers. They signed an infielder straight from Korea who played in Korea last year with a very similar name. Mike in Queens. What's up, Mike?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Okay, my question for you is, do you think Pete Alonso overestimated his own worth because of the home run derbies? I'm thinking back a couple of years ago, he put on a whole performance and got all that nationwide fame and acclaim. Do you think that perhaps made him think that he was better than he is?
No, I think the 50 home runs, playing 162 games a year and being the best player on the Mets, and now they just got the richest owner in baseball and his buddy Nimmo made a contract, and who's a better player, him or Brandon Nimmo? Like, who, if you hit 50 home runs a year and in the middle of the lineup, and Brandon Nimmo, you know, I understand, could have been an all-star last year, turned himself into a much better defensive player than when he started. But, I mean, if you're Pete Alonso and you watch Brandon Nimmo and Jeff McNeil get paid, I would think I would feel like I should get entitled to a contract too, no? I don't think it's just about the home run derby.
Yeah, I guess you're right on that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's not just, I mean, we're forgetting how good Pete Alonso was. I understand the last 2 years, and he turned down the contract. Totally, I understand. And people, you want to say it's fair money what they're offering him? He's not going to sign for that much more. So it's not crazy unfair. I totally agree. But, you know, when he's your guy and he's done a lot for you, and you need him in the middle of the lineup, I mean, he provides a little bit more value, just like you expect him to understand that you provide a little bit more value to him. But, I mean, this is a guy, again, 53-120, 37-94, 41-31, 46-118. People say he's on the decline for the last 2 years. He's on the decline for the last 2 years. The first year of his decline, he hit 46 home runs and drove in 118 runs. Yes, he hit 217. I get it. He hit 217. His batting average went way down. His OPS was 318. His on-base percentage, 318. He still had an OPS of 821, hit 46 home runs and drove in 118 RBIs, and that's a declining year. Like, we just say it cavalierly, and he's declined for the last 2 years. He declined into 46-118. He went up six home runs, and we call it declining because he hit 60 points less. I get it. His batting average has certainly declined. But I'm just saying, if I were a Met fan, or if Pete Alonso was a Yankee, I would be pretty upset if he went to another team for $5 million more. I'd be upset with Pete, maybe, for not understanding and taking the deal. I'd be upset with my owner for allowing it to happen. Neil in Westchester. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how are you? First Good. Time, long time.
Thank you, buddy.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
I think you're being a bit unfair.
Sure.
To the Mets and on Alonso. When Judge was a free agent, when Judge approached free agency,
yes,
the year before, the Yankees gave him what turned out to be a lowball offer.
I don't think it was a lowball offer at all.
Well, he did. He got $100 million more.
Correct.
You're talking about only five. He got $100 million
more. Because he hit 62 home runs. I understand.
The offer was a lot less generous to Judge than the offer that he turned down from the Mets for one.
It was more money than he offered.
I understand, but obviously Alonso isn't a Judge.
You want to go look at how many games? You want to go look at how many games played as well? Because Judge had yet to put together two healthy seasons.
I got it. Let me finish my point, if I may.
Yeah.
I hear you. Judge was not insulted. He didn't feel disrespected.
Oh, yeah, he was pissed off.
He put up a great season. Mm-hmm. Then he went out and he shot the offer at the end of the season.
Yep.
And when he got his best number from the Giants, he came back to Steinbrenner and says, can you beat it? And mm-hmm. Steinbrenner did, and he came back.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the question is, if the Blue Jays offer Pete $5 million more than Cohen is offering him,
yep,
is he gonna stand on his pride, or is he gonna come back to Cohen and be true? Alonso's been saying, I want to be a Met.
Yep.
So if somebody offers him $5 million more, is he gonna give Cohen a chance to match it?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
What do you think?
I don't know at this point and how he feels, but I'll tell you this, I feel pretty strongly that they won't. And
well,
that'll be the difference, because Hal did.
Well, maybe so, but to me, the first question is whether he's going to give him the opportunity,
yeah, I mean, but,
or whether he's going to feel, as you've been saying, whether he's going to feel disrespected,
yeah,
and say, I'm not going to bother coming back to the Mets, but I don't think they have disrespected him.
I'm not saying they've completely disrespected him. I'm saying that he's been in talks with them, and they were willing to offer him this much money the year before, and you consider it a loss, right? He went and had a season. Now, the difference is, Judge hit 62 home runs and won the MVP. That's why the money had to go up. And no Yankee fan would be calling it a low ball offer if he had a regression year, the likes of Pete. If the year of that contract, that was the year he ran into the wall in L.A. and broke his toe.
In L.A., yeah.
And missed half the season, everybody would be saying, oh, thank God they didn't offer him $300 million. So it's a matter of view on what low ball offer is. I don't think Judge was all. People say that. I don't think Judge was offered an absolute fair. It went exactly as it was supposed to go with Judge. They offered him a fair deal for a great player who had yet to put together two back-to-back healthy seasons. He turned it down, rightfully so, put a chip on his shoulder, and had one of the great years we've ever seen, and then earned a $360 million contract. And then they paid him. That's how it's supposed to work. Pete Alonso lost. He's getting less money. A lot less years. He came back in good faith with 3 years, and I think he feels like the team doesn't want him. Like, so whether disrespect or not, however you want to feel the disrespect, he's getting the vibes that the team doesn't really want him. So you can call it disrespect, whatever terminology you want. If I played 6 years with an organization, broke the rookie home run record with them, was the best player on the team for years, just hit the biggest home run of a completely seasoned. We feel so much different about the New York Mets if they lose 2 out of 3 to Milwaukee, as opposed to then beating Philadelphia and losing in 6 to the Dodgers. It's a completely different feel. That home run was enormous. And on a down year, he hit 34 home runs, drove in 90, and hit the biggest home run of the year. And then he gets into negotiations and gets the very strong indication that, you know what, this is going through the motions and they don't really want me. I don't know how you would feel, but we can call it disrespect or whatever else. He doesn't feel wanted, and I think he was expecting to feel slightly wanted.